All lines are now bridged.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the ISP Task Force meeting. Just as a reminder, please put your phones on mute if you are not speaking. We will go ahead and start the meeting, starting with the roll call. Ken Kawamoto?
Here.
Stephen Lane?
Good morning.
Good morning. Anil Jain?
Good morning. I'm here.
Arian Malik?
Good morning.
Good morning. Andy Trescott?
Good morning.
Good morning. Clem McDonald?
Here.
Good morning, Cynthia? I believe she said she may be absent today. David McCauley? Not yet.
I think he said he would be out.
Thank you. Edward John?
Here.
Thank you. Terry O'Malley?
Here.
Leslie Linnert? Not yet. Jack Poe?
Here.
Hello. Thank you. Raj Watwani? Ram Shuram?
Here.
Ricky Bloomfield?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Sasha Termott?
Good morning.
Bat Weingarten? Cheryl Turney, I believe she's going to be absent as well. Tamer Fakhoury? Not yet. Tina Esposito? Valerie Gray, she said she may be joining us on the phone. Do we have Valerie yet? Okay, we'll circle back. And Victor Lee?
Here.
Perfect. Okay. Just a quick slight adjustments you will note on the agenda for today for the IHMI presentation. We have Matt Minning, who will be presenting here shortly. This is just a slight revision from the agenda that was sent yesterday afternoon. So aside from that, I will hand it over to our co-chairs, Stephen and Ken.
Thank you so much, Lauren, and welcome, everybody. I want to acknowledge at the front end how pleased we are that you all made it back safely from the holiday and that you're here with us this morning. We had a number of planning sessions leading up to today's meeting, and at one point we were considering canceling because of the holiday and some competing priorities at ONC and folks being involved in some other efforts. But we went ahead and left this meeting on the calendar with an intended agenda, which actually did not all come together at the last moment. So we have a rather light agenda today. So I apologize for that. We may end up finishing up early, but we do have one presenter that is going to be coming to join us from the AMA Integrated Health Model Initiative. And I hope that as soon as they arrive, Matt, you are here. Matt Minning is here. And so Matt Minning from the AMA IHMI is going to give us a little bit of an overview of what they do. We've had a couple of meetings with them and have actually, on behalf of the task force, made a proposal to the IHMI related to our current scope of work around referrals and care coordination. So we'll be discussing that today. One of the other things that we had planned to have today, which we will try to get into our subsequent meeting, was a discussion of fire messaging standards. This was an issue that was raised by Ricky and others at an earlier meeting or after an earlier meeting where we've been discussing messaging as a component of referrals and care coordination. We heard a very nice presentation a couple of meetings ago about the 360X standard, which has been in the works for some time and has been built on the direct messaging standard. And it's been acknowledged that the standards world is evolving under our feet and that it may make sense for us to separate out the functionality that we want to support from the standards that are used to produce that functionality. So we are interested in understanding where standards are in flux. Messaging is one of those areas where there may be a couple of different standards that could be used. We've also talked a bit here about the whole issue of message context. And there again, there are some competing standards or perhaps complementary standards that are being promulgated by different groups within the industry. And I think our job here is not so much to pick winners as to acknowledge where standards exist and where they need to be evolved or somebody needs to have a process for choosing between them. So I just wanted to acknowledge all of that going into this. We, in the agenda, we said we were going to start with a review of our task force suggestions. I don't know that we really have our suggestions ready. That is something that we hope to have done in the near future, but really I think we're still more in a bit of a discussion mode. Terry and Ken and I worked on a document which I sent to the team just actually a few minutes ago after cleaning it up a bit. This is the ISPTF Referrals and Care Coordination Common Process document. And I don't know if the Excel folks have that document prepared to pull up. But if they do, Terry, are you in a position or in a state of mind where you might be able to kind of walk us through this document and share with the group kind of what you were thinking as you put this together, or if not, that's fine too.
No, certainly. Whatever state of mind that may be, sure. Let me pull this up as well.
I mean, I thought it was a good kind of overview, and I think it can help to kind of orient us to the task at hand. And then perhaps we could transition into Matt's discussion of the Integrated Health Model Initiative, as well as our submission that we have made to them. Does that seem fair? So this is actually a different document, this one that you're popping up here. The one I'm talking about is called ISPTF Referrals and Care Coordination Common Processes. Or Common Process V2, and it is a PowerPoint. Ken, do you want to add to the intro?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of information we've gotten, and the step we're at now is we should develop some recommendations based on what we know.
So if we don't have the PowerPoint ready, that's fine. We can actually discuss this document a little bit as well. That would be fine. This is a document that we've also been working on. This is the submission that we've made on behalf of the task force to the AMA Integrated Health Model Initiative. And as we've discussed here, one of the pieces that is really missing what we heard from the folks who presented on the 360X standard. One of the pieces that is missing is standards for the clinical data that would be optimal to collect and send from a referring provider to a consultant, and looking at that from the perspective of each specialty, each discipline. Of course, this goes beyond medical specialties to, you know, therapies, behavioral health, et cetera. And as we've discussed here, we believe that this is something that's lacking in our industry, is standards to support the referral process. And a number of us have worked collaboratively to put together a document that proposes that the AMA Integrated Health Model Initiative take this on and work with a number of other organizations to develop these best practice standards so that they can be baked into health information technology systems, including EHRs, to support the referral process. So we can just kind of page down a couple of times through this document that you're displaying now. This is a Word version of the information that we have submitted onto the AMA website. Yeah, that's great. And this just gives you a sense of the, you know, the level of detail that they've asked for And again, we have submitted this on behalf of the task force. Matt, one of the things that I wanted to know from you, obviously your website is private to AMA members and participants. Is there any problem with us sharing this document with our task force members who may want to review it in full? That's a question to Matt Minning.
Steve, this is Clem. I would suggest if you're submitting on behalf of the task force, we've got to be able to see it.
And that makes perfect sense. I couldn't agree more, Clem. Officially, actually, I'm submitting it in my own name as the co-chair of the task force, but that's absolutely true. So Matt Minning, are you with us on audio?
Can you make the font a little bigger?
Yeah, since this is an application, and I agree with the font issue, since this is an application, I think it's fine to share, right? I mean, we're not under any non-disclosure or anything around these things.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Okay. I think that's true. This is our content that we put onto their website. So this is something that we I think can share with the group, and I do hope that we get Matt off of mute at some point.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much.
Failed to hit one. So certainly, please do share that. And to be clear, you do need to log on to the AMA site. But certainly there's no obligation from logging on, and anybody can. So not completely public, but certainly accessible.
Great. So again, Matt, since you are here, and we ended up going down this path of the discussion, perhaps we could segue here into your discussion or overview of the IHMI and what you see as the role of that, and perhaps some initial thoughts about this submission and whether you see the IHMI as an appropriate home for it. Would that be acceptable for you at this point?
Certainly. I regret that we don't have Seth Blumenthal with us this morning. Unfortunately, he had a pre-scheduled doctor's appointment. Seth leads the clinical review group, which is one of the three existing sections of the Integrated Health Model Initiative. And their role is, A, to convene docs from across the House of Medicine to vet clinical content submissions as far as their impact, particularly on chronic and burdensome disease states. Which is where we hope to focus. We want to have as much impact as we can, as quickly as we can. But then also, after working with folks like Dr. Lane to understand the submission, examining those use cases to determine which data elements are necessary, kind of core clinically relevant data elements, to exchange meaningful information related to that use case. So really appreciate Dr. Lane bringing this submission to us and bringing the work you're doing on this task force to our attention. I know that the clinical review group meets later this week. They convene monthly, and I think Seth particularly is excited about kind of the quality, depth, and pre-thought that went into this submission. So we'll have more concrete feedback once the clinical review group convenes later this week and gets to dig into the work that you've done, Dr. Lane. I'm happy to give a high-level overview of the initiative. If that helps, I can just talk through it. I sent a few slides I could move quickly through over earlier today. Either way works for me. I'll I'll defer to the committee.
Since we have a little challenge with getting slides up quickly, perhaps you can speak to it. And if the Excel folks can, oh, those are Matt's slides. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize your fingers. Go right ahead then, pull up Matt's slides. Thanks, Matt.
No problem. Can I maneuver these or?
We can advance the slides for you. Just say next slide.
All right, so next slide, we're halfway into it. Essentially, an initiative aimed to improve the quality of the clinical data being exchanged in digital health. You know, the big premise is we're spending more and more money to collect data, generating more data than we ever have before, but we're still not always able to use that data in actionable ways, and we're still missing important pieces of information to capture in a standardized way, particularly to impact population health, value-based care. So if we could go down to the next slide. Some of you, I think, have been exposed to the initiative previously. We launched a little over a year ago. We were joined about a month ago by our new leader, Dr. Tom Giannulli, who is our Chief Medical Information Officer and lead of the initiative. With Tom's arrival, we've kind of honed our focus, at least for the next year. But the vision broadly remains the same. Make the data that's being exchanged in healthcare more meaningful. And I appreciate Dr. Lane's comment at the beginning of the call about functionality versus standards. I think one of the distinctions that I'd like to leave the group with, and we'll cover this on the next slide, is the distinction between data liquidity, our ability to exchange data, and data portability, our ability to use that data effectively once it's been exchanged. To do that, we'll bring together as broad a coalition of collaborators as we can. One of the strengths of the AMA is our ability to convene, and we'll marshal our resources, both clinical and otherwise, to ensure that data being exchanged is fit for purpose, clinically relevant, semantically interoperable, and includes some of those gaps. So specifically, health-related state, pure clinical data, functional information, social determinants of health, and goals that are set both by a patient or a clinician or collaboration between the two. If we could move to the next slide. As I said, the clarification that we're making, and I think this has been much needed, is between exchange and use, essentially. So we're getting a lot better in healthcare at moving information between systems and organizations. Some of the good work happening in government has advanced our ability to exchange information. Other standards developers and, of course, HL7 and FHIR most notably are making huge strides in our ability to move that information between systems and organizations. But in the absence of standards for how we capture and represent that information, we are limited in our ability to actually use it to impact outcomes. The goal of IHMI is to ensure that when we're exchanging data, it is usable across the entire flow of information. It's consistently represented, it's clinically relevant, and it can be trusted to support clinical decision making. Next slide, and please stop me, anybody who has questions. I'm moving quickly here in the hope that we can have a more comprehensive discussion once the CRG has vetted the clinical content submission and once Seth can join us. To your initial question about that submission, Dr. Lame, We do have a relatively narrow focus for the next 6 months. As I said, we're looking for areas where we can make a big impact, where there's a real need, where there is a likelihood that folks in industry will actually adopt what it is that we're producing to improve their products and their customers' experiences. And that focus right now is very much around patient-generated data, and particularly patient-generated data emerging from the Internet of Things. We've got, you know, an expanded ability like never before to collect information from home monitoring cuffs, from apps, fitness trackers, et cetera, but very little insight into what data is being collected by those devices and apps, who's deciding if that data is the right data or not, and almost no standards around consistent representation of the right data. In line with work underway across the AMA, we'll focus on remote monitoring data as related to three disease states. Hypertension, and we're working there with self-measured blood pressure. Diabetes, and we'll start work soon on content for monitoring glucose. And not on this list, but coming up later next year, asthma and data collected by asthma sensors. Across that spectrum, we'll be examining not just clinical information, the clinical detail needed to understand data related to the use case, but also some of that non-clinical but very important information, social determinants, functional status, and goals. If we could zoom down past the stethoscope. Why do we think the AMA is the right organization to do this? As mentioned before, one of the things we were founded to do and have done consistently since our inception 170 years ago is convene both the House of Medicine and industry. So we believe that we're well situated to convene the right players to actually address the problem. We represent the interests of both patients and physicians. Our mission, of course, is first and foremost the betterment of public health. We are essentially an honest broker. Don't really have a horse in this race beyond solving a problem. For many years, we've generated advocacy around the interoperability problem, and I'm proud of the work we've done there. For the last couple of years, we've started to move beyond advocacy into engagement and the development of tools to directly address the problem. And that's something we've got a proven track record of doing in other aspects of the work we do here at the AMA. So we believe that we're well situated to step up and begin to bring folks together to solve the semantic interoperability problem in healthcare. And if we could skip down. To do that, and I'll repeat myself a little, so I'll move quickly again, we believe that there are a number of critical factors. The convening and collaboration that I've spoken about throughout this brief presentation and exactly the need that brings us on to these kind of calls. A framework that can be leveraged by content and standards developers who have been doing good work in this space. We're keenly aware, many of us have worked on these kind of initiatives or with medical terminology, vocabulary, and ontologies for most of our careers, keenly aware of all of the good work that folks have been doing in this space. And so it's very important to us that we create a framework that allows that work to be used both independently of the modeling that we're doing, but also consistently within that framework. Thus, to Dr. Lane's point, the very detailed set of questions that we're asking as we accept clinical content submissions. And equally important, we think, is making the work product of IHMI easy to consume. So we'll be building out software services, essentially, to create a plug-and-play architecture that allows developers, aggregators, implementers to easily incorporate this content into their systems. And finally, a joint licensing model. This is addressing one of kind of the key concerns that those of us who've worked in this space have about the difficulty of doing this kind of work. It isn't too hard for folks to understand the problem. It is certainly possible to raise funds to start to address it. The difficult question for many years has been, how do you create a sustaining business model around this kind of work? And our intent is to do that in a way that sustains not only the work of IHMI, but more importantly, the work of folks who are generating content that, again, can be modeled and used within the initiative or separately or both. Finally, a very brief overview of the existing IHMI units. That's the next slide. We talked about the clinical review group, and I guess I've talked a little about me. Matt Menning, I lead engagement for the initiative. The role of engagement, of course, is to participate in these kind of calls, reach out to industry, also to vet and understand problems using health data through a platform, the IHMI platform, where Dr. Lane participated recently in a discussion. Those discussions are intended to drive clinical content submissions, and it's gratifying to see that we will be examining one as a result of a recent discussion, thanks to the submission from Dr. Lane. Finally, our development team, a group of terminologists and informaticists working in this space collectively for, I don't know, 75 or more years. Those are the folks who actually take those submissions, take the feedback from the clinical review group, and do the difficult work of modeling that information consistently so that as we scale, we continue to be able to use and understand the data. Finally, a group of folks who have joined us as collaborators thus far. And you'll see as you get toward the end of that list that our focus right now is very much on device manufacturers, where we believe there's a real opportunity to make data entering the medical record much more actionable, reduce clinical variation, and have a real and immediate impact on our ability to make care decisions based on that data. So that's the short story. I'm happy to answer questions, and I hope that we can follow up with a slightly broader group from IHMI and have some more concrete feedback on the content submission that we received from Dr. Lane.
Actually, Matt, this was great, and I think very much gave us a sense. Ricky Bloomfield, you had your hand up?
Yeah. Thanks, Matt, for the presentation. This was very helpful. I was wondering, you touched on this briefly in engaging with other groups out there who may be doing some work in the same area, but how would you compare or contrast the work that you're doing with IHMI with the work within HL7 SIMI, or you specifically mentioned patient-generated data, the work that Open mHealth is doing, or other similar groups?
Yeah, I'll start with Simi because we've had the most discussion, certainly with Stan and Susan Matney over at Intermountain and Simi and HSPC. As I said earlier, you know, the goal is not to duplicate work. The goal is that we can bring some alignment to you know, the massive amount of good work that's happening out there. You know, there are tough questions there. Not just tough, but forgive me, informaticists on the call, but sometimes tedious discussions about how best to model clinical content, which kind of modeling ideology we're going to use. So we're in the middle of those discussions now. The goal, again, is to find a way, to agree to kind of a common standard for how we're going to use and understand clinical content, and then some kind of narrowly scoped places to start doing that work. That discussion will center in the short term around hypertension and blood pressure. I think, you know, to your specific question, Ricky, we're, relative to clinical content, we're trying to do a lot of the same things that Simi is doing. The question is, how many silos do we want to do this in? And how do we best get that content into actual use? So we, I think, differentiate ourselves a little in that we seek not just to model the content, not just to understand what's clinically relevant, but make it as easy as possible to implement that content and move frankly, at the speed of the market. We are not a volunteer-staffed organization. We are not a consensus-driven organization. We certainly welcome and listen to all viewpoints. Transparency is very important to us. But I think speed is one of the ways where we hope, I wouldn't say to differentiate, but to advance work that organizations like Simi are doing. HL7, I would distinguish slightly, and I don't know if this is a distinction that you were making, but it really does get to that liquidity versus portability question. You know, we're agnostic to how data will be exchanged. We'll certainly provide fire resources, but our goal is not to facilitate the exchange of data where good work is already being done. It's to facilitate the usability of that data on both ends of the equation. I admit that I am not familiar with the work of OpenM Health, so clearly something I need to look more closely at. And if you've got a few words of orientation for me, I'd appreciate that.
Sure, yeah. OpenM Health has been around for several years now. You can go to openmhealth.org, and their goal is to have an open standard around patient-generated data. Their website is pretty comprehensive, and they have a number of groups that are participating, including large health systems like Kaiser and Stanford, UC Davis. It's based out in California, so it's a little West Coast centric in terms of those that are participating already. But their model is open source and freely available, so it's getting some traction through that.
Appreciate that, and we'll look forward to learning more.
Great. And then
Ricky, for the group, can you share the CIMI acronym stands for?
Hi, it's Andy. I should know this one. it's
something modeling initiative, clinical.
Yeah.
Information modeling initiative. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's, yep.
Could I, when there's a chance, could I make a comment?
Sure.
Is there a chance now?
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead,
well, there's a couple of things to think about in all this issue. You know, one of them is that we should mostly try to exchange a machine data living in the machines to not add additional data entry burden on providers, which could be severe. The second thing is there are existing models for sending specific data elements along with particular requests. And this is in the case of mostly in labs where they have ask at order entry questions that ask for additional data. It's very, there's a lot of it in the genetic testing. So there's mechanism to do it, and just a model to think about. And the second thing is Joel Buchanan at University of Wisconsin has developed a list of important variables and disease and drugs that are attached by are linked by problems. So he's got for each problem, I think he's working on 50 of them, you can get to the codes which would identify these important tests and problems for a given disease problem, like, you know, ischemic heart disease. So that would be at a different level. And the third thing is my experience when I was still practicing it with a computer, individual reasons for a referral often had special templates. They were short and fairly easy. So if you're sending somebody for endoscopy, there was particular questions. You're sending someone for a review of arrhythmias in cardiology, there were very specific questions. That will be harder when you get down that level because you'll get a lot more work to do to develop the things. But just to be aware, this isn't a green field. There's a lot of different things to think about.
Thanks so much, Clem. And I wanted to point out that I think one of the things that comes up here, whether we're talking about SIMI or others, is there are a lot of groups that have done work in these areas. And as you can see in the presentation, in our submission to the AMA, we tried to call out a number of groups that potentially could be collaborators in this work. I think that one of the things that we perhaps have an opportunity to offer as a task force is the suggestion of a home, of a convener, if you will, that would bring together the other groups to kind of get everyone pointing in the same direction. I think when ONC supports such a convening strategy, that oftentimes it can help us move in a positive direction where if the industry, you know, is kind of heading off in multiple directions. So this again is why, you know, we initially turned to the AMA to see if they would be interested in and prepared to take this on. I think, Matt, we heard loud and clear that you guys have the first 6 months of next year mapped out, and you've got some great stuff you're working on, frankly. The patient-generated health data is something that we're very interested in at this task force, and we may come back to you on that in the future. But I think, again, the point of this presentation by Matt was really so that people understand what IHMI is, so that we can at least consider within our recommendations whether we think it would be worthwhile asking the ONC to potentially support that as the convening home and do that, you know, either in word and or in deed.
And sorry, this is Ken. Just to add to that, I think the potential special value that AMA can provide in this context is especially around the gathering clinical consensus across specialties on, for example, what is the information that, say, you know, cardiologists want sent their way for common, you know, referral reasons, and neurologists and endocrinologists, et cetera, because that really needs to be done by clinical organizations. I think the only other ones that could do it are, you know, groups like, you know, the American Association of Medical Colleges, although that's obviously focused on academic medicine only. And they have a project called Project Core where they're working on these kind of things. So I think that would be one potential differentiator for clinical professional association kind of groups. I do think one issue that was touched on in the slides that we do need to make sure this committee understands is that I believe that this initiative is intending to license the models as the mechanism for recouping investments in it. So that's just something we have to consider, right? Because, for example, HL7 standards are currently free for use, no restrictions really. It might remind you of cases, for example, when in the past NOMED required licenses, and it wasn't until the federal government stepped in purchased the nationwide license to SNOMED that it became, you know, something feasible for everyone to use. We just need to be aware of the consequences potentially. For example, if, you know, a community clinic wanted to use these for referral purposes, they would have to pay a license fee. So just something we have to keep in mind.
And I think that's something that may preclude ONC from potentially getting behind it, depending on what that licensing model is. So I agree with Ken that we would really need to understand in much more detail what that means.
And is this is Matt again. Is this task force the right place for a more comprehensive follow-up on that issue? Because I think clearly it's a very important one, and one where we need to gather as much feedback as we can. One of the areas it'd be good to do some follow-up, whether with this task force or a broader or different group at ONC, is around distribution and licensing of content.
I'm not sure this is necessarily the right group, but I think it's the catch-22 where, you know, creating standards takes a lot of expensive people, clinical informatics, et cetera. It's right. Like it's the kind of thing that, like, it just doesn't magically happen. At the same time, you know, there's certainly barriers for licensed content. So it's a tough nut to crack, right? I mean, we want it both ways. We want it free and we want excellent content. So I don't know what the right answer is, but probably a larger issue than something that should be discussed in this task force, I would say, is the primary discussion, but probably something that should be discussed probably maybe in other venues, point-to-point, et cetera. But I think an illustrative example is just thinking through, for example, you know, what are the widely used standards, and often they're either paid for or they're, you know, through licenses, or some group has stepped in to pay for it, or it's such a high priority area that organizations are volunteering, quote unquote, their employees to work on, which essentially means the companies are paying for the work to be done.
Hey, Sue, can I put my hand up in the queue?
Go ahead, Andy.
Sure.
Okay, cheers. So, hey, Matt, this is very interesting. I was listening along, and I think it's good to see that the MA is actually taking some leadership here, and, you know, you can coalesce together the thinking of a broad clinical church to actually think through some of these issues. I am a little bit twitchy in that it seems like your program of work is addressing themes which are already either being addressed or what others believe have been addressed. So, you know, you're starting off with hypertension, you're moving on into diabetes, you're moving on into asthma, etc. And I wondered whether that was deliberate because there was a concern that these hadn't necessarily been approached correctly, and the AMA was concerned that you know, CIMI's investments in diabetes and hypertension weren't actually you weren't comfortable with. I'd also throw into the mix, you know, the work that the Open Air group has done as well. I know Ricky threw in mHealth, I agree with that, but Open Air too, and I'd be interested to know how you're lining up with them. But at the end of the day, the bit that seems to be missing from all these pieces of work that are going on around clinical knowledge is that standardized way for that clinical knowledge to be actually moved around. You know, we've got such historic things as art and syntax sitting there over in the HL7 realm. Are you looking to leverage that, or are you looking to do something anew? And finally, I'll be very interested to know a bit more about the software assets that you're looking to build out.
should have taken note of the three questions.
I'll compartmentalize it. Let's start off with, is your program of work sequenced specifically because the AMA has concerns about prior work that's been undertaken by, let's just say, CIMI, Open Air, and mHealth?
Yeah. So I can speak a little to CIMI. I can't speak, unfortunately, to the other initiative. We started with self-measured blood pressure in large part because we're at the time a nascent initiative and wanted to build on work that's happening in other areas of the AMA. So in our improving health outcomes group here, work has been underway for a number of years in collaboration with the American Heart Association to establish guidelines for self-measured blood pressure by an individual specifically. So not kind of blood pressure measurement writ large, but if you're going to be capturing readings from devices in the home or in the grocery store or the office, what have you, outside of the clinic, what data standards do we need to comply with to ensure that the readings entering the record are actually actionable? So I think our concern was less with the quality of work that others were doing and more an opportunity to build on work that was happening in another area of the organization and to address what looked like a gap to us in standards for how we model patient-generated data specifically. That work, of course, led us to conversations with a lot of device manufacturers, and what I've heard there is kind of massive variation in how those decisions about what the clinically relevant data to capture and how to capture it are. So that kind of reinforced for us that there's a need related to sensors and remote monitoring devices. So I guess I'd make a distinction there between, the clinically relevant data needed to measure blood pressure in general and some additional information that it's useful to capture from patients. And this is not like real crazy stuff, right? It's was the patient seated? Was the cuff positioned appropriately? Was the patient at rest? A few data elements that we're not currently capturing, in addition to some information related to demographics, social determinants of health, for that use case. And there we're looking specifically at how demographic information, particularly socioeconomic information in zip code, has an impact. And layering on top of that, dual eligibility. How can you use folks who are eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid as a filter on top of that additional information? So kind of to summarize, there are two things, you know, remote monitoring by individuals specifically, and then as we build these modules out, additional kind of non-clinical information that is impactful on population.
Okay. That's helpful.
Thanks so much, Matt. Yeah, I think that has been.
That's interesting.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think we do want to move on. We've given this a lot of depth, and again, I really appreciate it, Matt. I think we will wait to hear back from your group after you've had a chance to look at the submission that we put in. I think that some key questions have been raised, and especially around the licensing issue and whether, you know, if in fact the AMA became the home for this would, it would be an appropriate venue given that we want to be sure this content is available to all. So more to come on that. So we have about a half an hour left. And we had thought about going through this document that Terry has prepared. It goes perhaps a little deeper, I think, than we're ready to at the moment. I think perhaps rather we should stay at a bit of a high level, because we really do want to start closing out this section of our work. So sorry to kind of change gears for all of you over at Excel, but is it possible to bring up the short one-page document that we put on the Google Drive? I think you guys have that ready as well. And I think what we wanted to do, and Terry, thank you for your flexibility on this, was to start to think about how we can meaningfully structure our recommendations around this section. Because I think, and we used this metaphor previously, that we've kind of waded in to a bit of a swamp where there are a lot of folks involved in trying to develop and support standards. And we want to be able to provide meaningful input. If you guys don't have that, I could share my screen. Would that be easier?
I think it might be.
Hey, okay. Steve, there's one correction. They spelled SIMI with an S in the notes.
Yeah, I saw that. That's why I asked for that to be clarified. Let me pull up my screen here if I can. I'm going to try this. Don't try this at home. Here it is. Okay. So I'm not going to be able to see the Excel, Ken. So you'll need to manage from that side if, in fact, I'm successful in bringing up the Google document.
Yep.
Is that displaying? Can you guys see the document now?
It is. It's a little bit small, though.
Well, then it's full size on my screen, so I don't know what else to do. Maybe I can zoom it. Yeah, let me try zooming it a little bit. Did that help?
That helped, yeah.
Okay. Is that good enough, or should it go bigger?
Maybe 150 is good.
Okay.
Perfect.
And Steve, this is Terry. This might be a little too brief.
Yeah, no. I think the idea is that as we've been working through this, I think we all agreed that the effort of the 360X group is really going in the right direction, that looking at the core functionality that's required to support referrals and care coordination is important. And the 360X work, I think, is marvelous. And I imagine that I've heard nothing to the contrary from anyone here from anyone who feels that that's not something that we want to support. But as we've gone through this, what we've realized is that 360X deals with specific pieces of functionality, which we can articulate. I pulled out a couple here, but it also addresses, it led us into this discussion about content and the payload of exchange. And we've spent a lot of time now talking about clinical content that may be specialty specific or condition specific, but there's also administrative content about prior authorizations. There's metadata that we've discussed and it's called out in 360X. As we've gone through this, what we've realized is that there may be different standards that are evolving to support some of this. So one of the key issues or functions that's required to support this kind of referrals and care coordination messaging is message context. And we've identified that there are perhaps a couple of different standards that the industry is still working out as to how that's going to be supported or would multiple standards be supported. And I just don't think that we have the expertise or the time to wade into that. And then there are clearly standards around the exchange. And as we discussed earlier, 360X was built on direct, and there's clearly an opportunity to look at FHIR or other future emerging standards to support the exchange itself. And then one thing that Terry has really pointed out is the key role of governance in all this. And perhaps, Terry, I'll ask you to talk a little bit about that and how you see that fitting into this. So this was kind of the structure that we were thinking of for organizing our recommendations, trying to sort of separate them out into these big buckets, identifying, you know, who is involved in each of these and suggesting to ONC how through their support and or other policy levers that we could try to move this forward. But Ken, do you want to add to that before we ask Terry to talk about governance?
No, I think that sounds right.
So Terry, you had a lot of good thinking about governance here. Do you want to add to this? And or should we pop over to your other deck to go deeper into that?
My apologies. I'm in the middle of a construction site, and there's a sawzall 5 feet away from me, which is going to go off intermittently. So if I get drowned out, Steve, please pick it up. but anyway, on governance, it just seemed, and not because of an oversight, but I think we were focusing on lots of other things. But governance becomes a really critical piece in actually getting Party A and Party B to be able to exchange, share information meaningfully. So more than anything else, so just to put it on the list of things that we ought to look at, and there may actually be standards that support governance that we want to come back and take a look at. I think that's probably the main point. And then it's just a lot of detail.
One of the things that you had suggested belonged inside kind of the governance bucket was issues of permissions and authorizations. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Oh, sure. The 360X project did a lot of very specific work and cited message types and so on, but they put a lot of things out of scope, and out of scope included some of the really critical pieces that we need to actually have in place to exchange information. So, for example, the unique patient identifiers, and how do we finesse that? The authorizations under TEFCA, permitted uses, authorization for information exchange, authorization for specific uses by the individual. Again, these are important pieces that have to be in place before we can take someone's data and either share it or move it around. So there are a bunch of things beyond semantic interoperability and the syntax and the message type and the transport standards that we're going to have to come back and make a comment on. Whoops, my friend's working again. I'm going to go on mute.
Thanks, Terry. So I think that really we've spent a few meetings talking about this domain, and I think our work has been a little bit more free form than the work we did on orders and results. But again, we want to come up with some concrete recommendations around this domain. So I would really be interested in hearing from others on the task force how you think it might be most valuable for us to structure our recommendations so that Ken and I can draft those and bring those back to you at the next meeting.
Well, this is Clem.
Go ahead.
No, go after you, sir.
Okay. I think it's going to be really hard, although I agree with Terry that we need those things. It's been 15 years since we've been trying to get a good patient identifier. Do you have, are there any shortcuts that are going to come up in the next year that we can possibly make progress with? I worry about getting stuck on the hardest point and not getting the other parts just settled. You know, let and individual parties can work out some of the details if they have to.
So, yeah, hey, it's Andy. I think just on the National Patient Identifier, my understanding is there is movements inside Congress to move that ball forward. It might be worth, if we can ask the question, guys, up to ONC leadership to ask for, you know, some insight into that, because I'm sure Dr. Rucker has a pretty good finger on that pulse. So maybe we should just ask that question, because I'm with Clem, we've been trying for decades to get an NPI right. And then we can also look to leverage some of the work that people like Commonwealth are doing in this regard. In terms of structure, I would be inclined just to have a fairly simple and straightforward lexicon for how we want to go about this. You know, I think we've identified the different domains of standards. So we've talked about syntax, we've talked about semantic, we've kind of talked about provenance and context, and now we're talking about governance as well. So I think, you know, in terms of having, you know, our recommendations structured into those five domains, that seems to make sense.
And I don't see any other hands up. Does anybody else on the task force have comments? Asha?
Is Arian on the call?
I do not see him, but Sasha does have her hand up. Please go ahead, Sasha.
Oh, can you hear me?
We can now.
Okay, wonderful. So, you know, my thinking, I guess, was I like these domains and I appreciate the work that sort of Terry and folks have put into organizing it in this way. I think that's helpful. The one thing that I'm struggling to parse out of them that might be helpful for our structure in making recommendations is the link to the use cases and the challenges. So, for example, one of the things that we've talked about has to do, a challenge has to do with sort of identifying all the actions related to one particular referral episode across different systems. And then that has to do with the functionality, the governance, potentially with the other requirements, and a referral identifier and so forth. But then we've also talked about very different use cases, like how does a patient stay informed about the status or details of their referral or any steps that they might have to take regarding scheduling or their role in the process. And that's kind of a different, potentially related challenge, I guess, because the patient will have the same identification challenges that other providers might, but it might be helpful to sort of link into some of these pieces, how they address the different players in the scenarios. Does that make sense?
I think it does. I think what you're saying, Sasha, is you mentioned at the last task force meeting too, but you know, let's get down to the problem that we're trying to solve, and then enumerate it, and then based on that, organize some of our thinking. Does that summarize it a little bit?
Yeah, I feel like if we want to make a strong pitch to ourselves, to ONC, to the other organizations and stakeholders that we represent, that, you know, consistent implementation of messaging between systems with a shared referral ID is one of the top interoperability priorities, part of that pitch is going to be, here's the current pain because we don't have that, and here's how this project solves that pain. And I think we've talked about a lot of those in our discussion, but we haven't necessarily called it out in our sort of organizational structure here.
Yeah. So I think that gets around maybe we could either hang problems within these categories, or we could just at the very top level just state what, in, you know, we understand to be the big problems are, knowing that there's these, you know, various axes related to it. So maybe one way to state it is a big problem is when we want to refer outside of our own organizational bounds, it's very hard to make sure that the information goes smoothly to the specialist and back. I think that's probably one clear thing. And another one would be potentially when we want to refer, it's very hard for us to tell
when the which providers have availability and are accepting patients, and you know how far you have to look out, and to make it you know easier to do. And I think there was a really nice presentation on the 360X project that sort of outlined those current challenges. I think we could really sort of point to that. And then I think the separate issue we've been talking about is, you know, when we do make referrals, we don't have well defined what is the data that we need to send along, other than to say, you know, in text, hey, this is why I'm referring the patient and this is what's going on with the patient. So because that's a big point of frustration with specialists, that they don't have all the information they need to properly evaluate the patient. So maybe along those kinds of lines, if we can specify, then maybe the, you know, path forward should become clear.
I think that sounds great to me.
So I think for at least two of these, the identifying appropriate providers and, you know, closing the loop, it seems like 360X is doing a lot of work on it. So natural recommendations, but an issue there is that it hasn't yet got into, you know, many pilots. So the recommendation there simply could be, we think the 360X project should be continued and move, you know, so we should support moving it forward towards real uses and identifying what the, you know, gaps are and continuing to resolve those. And then another recommendation could be, you know, we need to have a, you know, we suggest there's an effort to identify what the specialty specific and condition specific referral needs are, information needs are, and convene a group and ask a group that can convene these folks, whether it's AMA or AAMC, to start defining those, leveraging existing work that could potentially be used in those contexts. And a third one could be, you know, there's a whole new set of standards that are being generated right now, and a potential problem is we could be trying to put, you know, ask too much of direct. That's a potential question. So we would recommend further analysis on the implications of continuing down the direct path, and whether we need to, you know, look at sort of the latest generation of standards like FHIR, like an actual analysis, because we can't really expect this task force is going to do that kind of a comprehensive analysis over two calls kind of thing. Like, you know, we've been talking about it, but that's probably just something that needs to be spun off and, you know, an analysis done. Any thoughts on things? At least this isn't an area I have much experience in, but as I've been listening, those are the kind of thoughts I've been having about, you know, what we should recommend as a task force.
Ken, is this kind of what you were getting at in terms of the recommendations?
Yeah, well, I think, let's see. So I was thinking around one and three, it was around the notion of 360X seems like the most promising effort going on in that area, and critically major EHR vendors are engaged in it. So, but it still is limited in the sense that it hasn't gone into sufficient piloting to know whether it really does work. As expected, I mean, it probably will, but you know how it is. Anytime you do something for real, you learn things. So it's probably support 360 effort, right, for both one and three and four. And then I think definitely on the 2B, yes, convene support, collaborative development of best practices. And then I think sort of separate from this is an infrastructure need, which is maybe a problem potentially is, you know, direct is being pushed to the limits is, I think, the sort of the concern that we've been hearing. So it's almost a fifth problem, right? Like, technically speaking, that might be an issue. Unless you have your hand up, please go ahead.
Yeah, no, I wanted to suggest that this sounds like a good opportunity for suggesting that ONC put out an RFA to implement this as a test, 360X as a test bed someplace.
Yeah, I think we'll learn a lot if we can, from the,
I mean, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel, I think, for, you know, if 360X is moving in the right direction, we should just keep supporting it. And at the same time, we've heard enough concerns about the underlying sort of technology of using fax machine equivalents in healthcare, which is my understanding of what 360X is. It's basically email, right? Secure email to say, you know, somebody should do an analysis, and maybe we recommend that, you know, ONC commission an analysis of the you know, pros and cons and of continuing to build down the 360X direct infrastructure versus you know, FHIR. And my assumption is that kind of analysis will reveal that, you know, 360X direct, that's the right way to keep going, but that's, you know, these are the things that may cause issues, and therefore we should also have a parallel, you know, initial investment in what a FHIR-based infrastructure might look like, that kind of thing.
I think that's a great idea, Ken.
Thanks, Glenn. And Terry, you have your hand up.
Yeah, and I just say that 360X is really a great example of a closed-loop referral, but it's not the only closed-loop referrals we have in healthcare. Mm-hmm. And we ought to be thinking about how we can take the 360X platform and rejigger it so we can use it for transitions of care, even back to lab ordering and results. That's, in a sense, a closed-loop referral. And then the grand prize of all is sort of ongoing longitudinal coordination of care, which is just a much more complex set of interplay, but it might very well rest on the 360 paradigm.
Yeah, so that would be the notion of under closing the loop, or maybe it's around that infrastructure, explore FHIR-based messaging, and then it's also, you know, analyze applicability of 360X/direct approach to other closed loop processes such as multi-stakeholder care planning and results receipt and delivery. I think it's getting at this notion that maybe if the generic problem is the same, why are we having, you know, 10 different ways to handle the same thing in terms of the infrastructure perspective?
Yeah, exactly. Well, write that down.
Well, what all we're seeing is the manifestation of point solutions which have grown, you know, somewhat organically over time.
Yes. And maybe it's somebody, I mean, it's not that kind of thing. Any one of those groups is going to really spend a lot of effort looking at another approach and think, oh, we should have done it that way. But it probably is worth, and you know, an analysis of, well, what have we learned, and is there a way we can start, you know, consolidating or learning from these point solutions?
Well, I think you said the important word there, consolidate, because it doesn't make sense for everything to persist, you know, and is it within our remit to actually start making those recommendations of where we think consolidation should happen and, you know, frankly, where trimming should happen as well? Is that inside our scope?
I think it's within scope that that's something that needs to be identified. I don't think we have the expertise across all these domains to really say, you know what, everyone should move towards FHIR, or everyone should move towards direct, that kind of thing, or HL7V2 messaging. I think we can point out that analysis needs to be done. And that's maybe this task force in 3 years could make, or, you know, the HITAC could make recommendations in 3 years of, hey, you know, at this point, like, let's say FHIR has become so dominant, why don't we start converging towards it? But I don't think we're there yet.
Well, you know what Ricky and I think about FHIR, but I think you're probably right now. But somebody is going to have to push, even if we're not making the decision. So we're going to have to push to get the decisions made. Otherwise, we're just going to end up in a quagmire of a proliferation of different approaches and subtly different quote standards, which by definition is an oxymoron.
But the best way to do that, though, is actually to start to in a demonstration project of some kind that can identify the real world problems for this. And to get a community or a group that's willing to work together inside a health information exchange or something like that to test the 360X approach would be invaluable, and it just should be done as soon as possible.
Well, I contend that Commonwealth probably believe they are, and Sequoia probably believe that they are as well.
Yeah. So,
that they are already doing this, or that they're the best group to do it?
That they are already doing something similar to.
Who's that?
So just to be clear again, Andy, that you know, Commonwealth is now a care quality implementer, so that's all one community. So it's not an either or.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying it's an exact match. But if we're actually as this group going to get around behind 360X and say, okay, we believe that with some modernization of the underlying infrastructure, 360X is a paradigm that people should be taking forward, then I think we are going to run up against some active discourse from some of the existing pseudo HIE type groups.
Do we have any other hands up?
No other hands up. And we need to go to public comment in a short minute.
Yeah, I was thinking we could probably do that now and then come back and close it out after this.
Okay, that sounds great. Let's see, operator, or I should say, Jackie, can you please pull up the phone number, and then operator, can you please open the public line?
Yes, thank you. If you'd like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Thanks. And let me just double check to confirm attendance. I know we had a few others that had joined late, but did we do we have either David McCauley, Scott Weingarten, Tamer, or Tina on the line?
This is Tamer. I'm on the line.
Okay. Thank you. And there were a few others, Raj and Les, I have you guys as well. Operator, do we have any comments in the queue at this time?
No comments at this time.
Okay, great. Ken and Stephen, I'll hand it back to you.
Lauren, can you either tell me how to stop sharing or make me stop sharing? I can't find the control for that.
Jackie, I believe it's in the upper, I think our presentation is different. Is it in the upper left corner, Jackie?
I don't see it sharing, though.
Yes, he's no longer sharing his screen.
Okay, but I can't get back to the main screen for the meeting. Last time I did this, I had to relaunch it. I just didn't know if anybody had a solution.
I don't.
Oh well.
I can do any sort of administrative stuff like that. Stephen, what do you think? Should we have about 8 minutes left? Should we just continue down the recommendations path to just? I think this is highly valuable, right? Because if ideal for me is we can get the gist of the thoughts from the task force, and then we can flesh out the wording a little bit, and then send it back out for feedback. If that works, I will share the referrals document that Stephen had up a little bit earlier. I think, I think it should work. Let's see. Share. Perfect. Okay. I think folks can see that. I'm going to zoom in a little bit. Assuming that this top part is going to start becoming the basis of this sort of unit's recommendations. And, you know, the problems we're seeing. What else do you folks have to add or to modify in what we have? Because I think what we will be able to do is start off of these to
to formulate further review recommendations. Does anybody, Terry, do you feel like there's the governance issue and the need for like a common governance model along the lines of what TESCA is working on to be put here, or no?
Let's put it as a placeholder. I think that the governance piece is important. I think it's a barrier for people to enter if they have to develop their own governance structure one at a time. So a snap-on governance structure like TEFCO is proposing to be, or that Direct has, something like that I think would be very helpful.
Would TEFCO structure work?
I don't know. I hear your point, Clem. It's not so much this. I think it's the concept, perhaps more than the structure.
I meant the governance is part of it.
Yeah. The governance just baked into the process.
It is a really interesting question. I know we're all waiting to see what comes back with regard to TESCA. I know we're waiting for a lot of things from ONC for Christmas. Certainly TESCA, depending on how it gets implemented and instantiated, could potentially provide a home for the kind of governance we're discussing here. And I think that we should remain open to that possibility.
Yeah, I must confess, I'd always assumed that anything we would do would align up with the TESCA governance structure. Maybe I was naive in that regard, but I kind of assumed that that's where we would go. We wouldn't try and advocate for something different. Am I missing something?
I don't think so. But I mean, when we could, in our recommendations, certainly put that in as a suggestion that this be governed within the context of TESCA, if we felt that was appropriate. What do people think of that? It sounds like, Andy, you were kind of assuming that, right?
I would try.
I kind of assumed it because it kind of seems to make sense. But if I'm happy to discuss alternatives if people think there should be something else.
Yeah, I think we should go with it first. If it fails, okay, but why do it twice?
Yeah, we've got enough problems with standards duplication of efforts and stuff without creating a governance one as well.
It's also hard to imagine, as we discussed with where to find a home for the clinical content work, how do you find a home for the governance of referrals and care coordination? That would be challenging since the government is going to potentially support one for us that we can snap into, as Terry says.
Yeah,
I think the challenging part is just endorsing without knowing what we're really talking about yet.
I don't think we're endorsing, we're encouraging. We got to get something done, right? And when it goes, a horse is on the track, and then we can back off.
Yeah, I think we've got a presumption that this will be an appropriate model, and we'll manage to it by exception to that. If it's not, would be my suggestion.
It seems like a reasonable assumption. I think we should revisit once we actually have a sense of what the model is.
Absolutely. Yep.
Great. Well, I think we're almost out of time. I'm very happy that we seem to have all the different information we've learned start coalescing into recommendations for this part. Before we close, I think just an administrative note: holidays are coming up, so there's going to be some updates to scheduling and that. We'll make sure everyone's aware of. And then I believe for this task force, there may be potentially a little break in time as some new guidance might come from ONC for the high tech in general to review. But that's not to say that this task force is going to stop doing work. It's just saying that we'll be pausing for a while, assuming that HITAC members will need to focus on other priorities for the HITAC. Anything else?
We had talked about sending out some homework to folks. One is that we'd like to send around the draft of the IHMI proposal or submission so that everyone has a chance to look at that and provide feedback. So the ONC team will help us with that. Another thing that we had planned to do last time, which I don't think we accomplished, was that we had posted a referrals and care coordination process flow document that we also wanted to invite people to review, specifically with the mind to identify challenges. I think, you know, this notion of problems to be solved, some of those problems come to mind as you're thinking through the actual process flow for both referrals and care coordination. So I think that if the ONC team can package those up, make them available on the share drive with commenting capabilities, that would be ideal so that we can give people a chance to review those, especially if we're going to have a little bit of a break in our schedule. We do want to come back still and hear a bit more about FHIR-based messaging and the state of evolution of that standard. I'm not sure we need to do much of a deeper dive into IHMI at this point. I think Matt gave us a great intro to that. So we'll put together the homework with the team and get that out to everyone. So do we know at this point when our next meeting is? I know we're at time.
On the calendar, we have it set for December 11th.
So 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
Very good.
But we do not have it 2 weeks later on Christmas Day.
Very good. So all other things being equal, we'll see everyone in 2 weeks. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
guys. Have a good day. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.